All right, everybody. Hello. Welcome to the Behaviorist Book Club. Let's continue our journey in supervision, talking about supporting those who we're likely going to be supervising. We're not talking about BCBA or future BCBAs. We're now talking about RBTs and behavior techs. So this is a great article in Behavior Analysis and Practice by Natasi and colleagues 2024. Everyone needs to take breaks, a qualitative analysis of registered behavior technicians' experience with taking breaks at work. Guys, this is one that I am so excited to talk about. This is something that truly, if I didn't have to keep this podcast to 15 minutes, I could talk about forever. As I'm always super excited to share ABA research, this is something that I wish I could scream from the rooftops. So let me set the stage. Let me tell you why this is so important. I have worked for a few different ABA companies in my careers. I've also had the privilege to consult with, either in a clinical sense or even a marketing sense, many different ABA clinics, upwards of 25 to 30. I have met dozens upon dozens of RBTs. I've seen hundreds, if not thousands, in my different communities. RBTs are struggling. RBTs do not like their job. RBTs wish that they had more control. They wish that their clients were making more progress. And they wish that they had a job that was going to last them more than 3 to 5 years until they inevitably go to SLP, mental health, OT. My best friend in the world is a licensed mental health counselor, and she was an RBT. And she was going to go into ABA until she hit her like third year of being an RBT, and she was like, I can't do it anymore. I need something that is different. Now, I am generalizing. I understand it's not all. Some RBTs, I love them, and they will stay as an RBT for the rest of their life. They love their job. They love their BCBAs. I'm not talking about them. I am talking about my experience with the vast majority of RBTs who desperately need support, and our field, which is so intense on BCBA billables and RBT billables and all of these different factors, that we are forgetting that we need to support the RBTs, the frontline workers who are providing the vast majority of clinical care for our clients. And here's the reality. Client outcomes matter in so many different ways. Obviously, ethically, for our clients, that's who we're serving. That's who we became BCBAs for. That's who we became RBTs for. But from a business sense, to get more operational, client outcomes lead to referrals. Client outcomes lead to lower marketing spend. Client outcomes make it so your ABA business becomes a sustainable business model that's not just burning through all of the clients in your area, desperate that new kids get reinforced or get diagnosed. And your clients will only make good outcomes if the therapy quality is good. And who is delivering 90% of the therapy? Alone, mind you. Maybe 80% if you're supervising 20%, which I see less and less now. The people who are delivering that therapy are the behavior technicians. So this topic, RBT supervision, RBT support, is important because no amount of OBM fixes a tired RBT. No amount of OBM, no amount of prompting, no amount of training fixes an RBT, quote unquote, fixes an RBT who is exhausted and not able to come into work that day because they're so burnt out they can't even imagine getting out of bed. The PDCHS is not the solution. There are so many things that OBM does well. There are so many things that we as behavior analysts can fix and change and put interventions into place. But if the antecedent conditions, the environment that this person is existing within, the RBT, for 40 hours a week is unsustainable and creates burnout, then it's unsustainable and it's going to create burnout for these folks. Okay, take a breath. I hope that set the stage for you. I hope that kind of communicates the seriousness of this article, because this article essentially is going to go over the different barriers and a few solutions for a very simple situation. RBTs are not getting breaks. They're not getting breaks because oftentimes the breaks aren't mandated legally, and so they're seen as shifted off to the side. Or if they are mandated legally, they're pushed together, they're not seen as important, companies don't prioritize them. And the result of all of that is burnout, is turnover, and is low quality of care. No amount of OBM fixes that. The environment's unsustainable, so then the therapy is unsustainable. So let's get into exactly what this article looked at, what it did, and what it found to fix this very problem. So this study, as I said, the distinct purpose, explore how RBTs across settings experience breaks. Do they get them? When they take them? In what way do they feel supported or lack thereof when they take breaks? All of those different variables. The researchers then used so once again, they looked at 15 different RBTs across the US, clinics, schools, and homes. They did a quick burnout check. I love this idea. Just like, hey, are you burnt out? Only an ABA would that be seen as something that is like a normal question to ask. Now, let me correct that. I feel like in other health and human services, there probably is some like degree of expected burnout. Let me say this. Only in the 21st century is 40%, which was the stats they found, 40% being a, like, nobody's surprised. Like, it's an expected amount of burnout in our therapists. Yeah, 40% burnout, that seems about right. I actually think if you ask BCBAs, this is a good question. Put it in comments, wherever you're seeing this, I'd love to hear. What do you think the percent of BCBAs who are burnt out is? I'm thinking it's got to be like 25%. I think it's got to be a quarter. And the fact that RBTs are saying 40% is burned out, not surprising at all. If you're one of the practice owners who thinks you have a beautiful work-life balance, an amazing practice, I encourage you to take this data yourself, make it anonymous, try and make it as honest as possible. They checked on burnout, they did a Zoom interview, and then coded the themes. And then finally, the team reflected with the participants and on their own experiences, looking to find some key findings and themes as well as solutions. What are these themes that they found? Big shocker. Everyone, get ready. Breaks are important and necessary. Whoa. Yeah, so breaks are important and necessary. RBTs reported that breaks regulate stress, refocus, and help them provide quality care, and prevent things like dehydration, exhaustion, emotional burnout, things like that. And it makes sense. Right, all jokes aside, this is exactly what you'd expect, and it's what I think a lot of people already know intuitively, is that breaks for RBTs prevent more serious long-term things from occurring, whether that be operational struggles like more call-outs, or whether that be client care struggles like quality of care due to emotional fatigue. RBTs actually noted specifically that clients' behaviors typically improved when RBTs had those breaks. I don't think it's too far of a stretch to say that likely fidelity to intervention plans improved following breaks because RBTs were once again refreshed and ready to implement the behavior plan. But ultimately, as important as everyone knew, all the RBTs knew breaks were, it let them provide higher quality of care. There was guilt, pressure to push through, and this kind of like hero therapist mindsets often led RBTs to skip breaks or not even ask for them. This is a really common, this is something that when I was a RBT, this was like my alley. Breaks, help, no thank you, I'm the hero, I can do it all. It was very classic, egotistical 20-year-old. Maybe I'm still that egotistical 20-year-old, just a little bit. We'll talk, that's another podcast. That's a more mental health podcast. Maybe I'll bring my friend on. Regardless, this whole idea of pushing through breaks, very common. Listen, this field attracts helpers. This field attracts people who are willing to give it their all. And those people who give it their all are the same people who won't last more than 3 years, unless there are BCBAs, business owners, people older than them, wiser, not older, timeline, but like older in the field, more experience, to help pace themselves, to help say, yes, this time you are taking a break because I can tell you need it. That is the role of the supervisor oftentimes. It's to say, yes, these systems are put in place. They're sometimes not perfect, but you can take a break. And look, I see it. You are going to take a break now. Okay, finding number three, break conditions vary widely. Now, this is something that I frankly did not actually consider. This is why I love these articles. This is why it's literally amplifying the voices, asking them what they need. I did not consider this. And I honestly, if I think back to when I was taking breaks as an RBT, oftentimes it was in a small room with a bunch of desktops and there was like one table in the middle and you were eating lunch, but other people were working around. There was no break room. There was no like teacher's lounge or anything like that. It was just, hey, and thinking about it, you know what I did? This is, if you know me personally, I've probably told you the story. I had what I called pizza days. All right, we're 12 minutes in. I can't go too far on this story. So what would happen is I would have a particularly hard session, a session that there was just a lot of emotions all around. I did not have a good day. The client did not have a good day. I would go to Little Caesars and I would get a whole pizza with two things of ranch dressing. And I would sit in my car and I would watch Friends while eating the entire pizza. It was something else. And I tell you, at its worst, this happened like once a week. I was in college. I wasn't healthy in general, but this was like peak unhealthiness. So now that I think about it, I didn't spend much time in the break room because I would go into my car and decompress. This is also what a lot of these RBTs were reporting too. Their official breaks, if they got any, were often rushed or sitting on a cold chair in a cold room. Unofficial breaks were improvised. Maybe they're eating during their admin time. They're decompressing in the time spent in between clients. Oh my gosh, what I could tell you about driving in between clients as your break. I did that all the time. I would drive there, get there 5 minutes early, put the seat down, and just zone out because I had to before my next 3 hour session. Other barriers to these break conditions were there was no staff to cover high risk moments, so you were always on edge, right? So you're taking a break, and then suddenly a client behavior happens. Who needs, of course, you're going to go help your fellow RBT. Suddenly your break disappears. No pay, nothing like that. The internalized grind culture, break equals weakness. Supervisors who say that you can't have a break right now because you have to go cover another client. I can't tell you the amount of times where you had to bill like a 15-minute session just to, it's, oh my gosh, this is just too much. Let me just take a break. And finally, even in home-based, very tight home-based schedules are unsupportive caregivers. This, I never had this experience in home-based because I never had a 40-hour week in home kid as an RBT. But yeah, I know some RBT friends who have had 8 hours of ABA in home, and that was their entire work day. Their entire work day was in a single home providing ABA therapy to a single kid. Where is that break? Right? Is it during lunch for an hour? Is there any 15 minutes? Or ultimately, does it become the kid gets to watch the tablet for a little bit of extra time? The TV stays on a little bit longer after lunch, right? Things like that ultimately degrade the quality of therapy just so the RBT can get a little bit of breathing room. What is the final one? The final theme they found, the support for taking breaks is actually missed. Coworkers often would step in and help provide support, give them some empathy. Supervisors would either be really great, be really supportive at providing those breaks. Hopefully more and more folks will start to do that, but other times would feel very absent. I know this is a challenge with telehealth therapy. I was a telehealth BCBA for a while, and there's not really much we can do in terms of stepping in to give a break to our therapist, but we can definitely support from the background, talk to the caregivers, organize breaks, things like that. And ultimately, the final kind of theme was that the organization really matters. The organization prioritizing breaks can get that trickle down through all of its staff. So when you are in an organization, or if you're leading an organization, it's on you to make sure that breaks are prioritized, not just in a policy, not just legally, but truly prioritized and valued so that ultimately your client care does not suffer. Final takeaways. Breaks are not a luxury, they're a clinical necessity. Supporting breaks can prevent burnout in the long term. Yes, you might lose 30 minutes of billables here and there, but you know what you're not going to lose? 120 hours of billable time because you had three therapists churn at the exact same time. Churn as in quit or leave the job. We value RBTs. I think this field vocally values RBTs. I think it's also time that we start to put some money where our mouth is. We start to prioritize their mental health, we start to prioritize their longevity in the field, and we start to put some value on experience and listening and supporting those who have been with us the longest, who are those career RBTs, because I can guarantee you they're providing most likely the best quality of care. All right, that's all I got for you. I am obsessed with ABA research. I love talking about this stuff. And thank you so much for listening once again to me rant about ABA. My name is Matt. Leave a review, leave a rating, share, do all that fun things. I'll see you in the next one.